Welcome to Let's Get Local Wilmington, the podcast where I deep dive into the stories of local business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best people I know who are shaping the community and making waves in the business world. Each episode, I'll bring you inspiring conversations with the movers and shakers of our town, uncovering the secrets behind their success, the challenges they've overcome, and the valuable lessons they've learned along the way. I'm your host, Jen Richardson, and I am beyond excited to share this story with you today. Let's dive into the episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Local Wilmington. I am here with Kimberly Ryan, owner of Freya's House. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. So, Kimberly, walk me through where you're from, what brought you to the area, and when, and then we'll talk about what you do professionally in Wilmington.
Yeah, I was born in Maryland, and then I moved to the Carolinas at 13. Spent a little time in Utah for boarding school, and then came to Wilmington for college. I moved here at 17, and I will be 35 in September, but we love the beach, and my partner is Special Forces, so most of the branches move around, but we're lucky that he won't move, so we're here for the foreseeable future.
Wilmington is home. Yeah. Excellent, and you put down some really good roots here, so tell me a little bit about Freya's House. Tell us, what is Freya's House and what you're doing up there in the Scotts Hill area?
So originally, I thought it'd be more of like a beer garden and coffee shop, and I've kind of like rebranded and realize it's more of just a passion project that is a kind of like a communal center vibe. Like, we do have beer, wine, and liquor, but we also have non-alcoholic beverages. We have some CBD and Delta 8 beverages, all the way down to kids' juice boxes. And that's just kind of like the baseline of it. But really, it's bigger than that. It's events, whether it be live music, goat therapy and bottle feeding, or pure romance events. We're going to be working on a kids' expose where they get to showcase their art.
That. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So you guys, and I mean, we go there often. And so you guys are super family friendly, which I love. So let's kind of expound on that goat bottle feeding therapy thing. Talk to me about that, because that's up right up my alley.
At first I was like, what is this all about? And they came out and I was like, oh my gosh, these are beautiful. They are so sweet. They do it at a few other places in town, Leyland Brewing and Waterline, but basically it's we'll be able to do it for the next 8 weeks, because then they're not babies anymore. But this gentleman rescues these goats, and they love people and being fed. So you get to come out and everyone gets their own individual goat, gets to feed them and love on them. Last time they actually had baby goats and baby lambs. So
okay,
my 3-year-old loves them, won't touch them, but loves them.
That is amazing. So is it a local farm that has them, or?
The gentleman's name is, he goes by Zen Hooves, but his name is Dennis, and he has a few properties around town. I think he's actually working on his own little sanctuary for animals. I actually don't know where he lives, but he travels all over from Charlotte to South Carolina with these goats, and they just get the best lives, hugs and snuggles.
I love it. Love it. That's so fantastic. So tell me a little bit about how you got started in food and beverage services, industry, the whole thing, because you're so good at it and you're welcome. So talk to me about your journey kind of getting into, you know, food and beverage.
Yeah, I started at 16, maybe a little bit younger than that, actually. And I was a hostess at a pizza place. It was right across from the gym we used to go to, the Siski Y. And it was a fun way to meet people. My mom was in the service industry prior. And then when I came to college, I was in a sorority, and my big at the time worked downtown. And she loved to dance. And I was like, this is so fun, the way you can meet people, but still make a lot of money. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't very fiscally driven. And I really liked the change of lifestyle that you could have. So I started off just waiting tables. And I was the door girl at Odessa. Yes, Odessa, which then became Sputnik, which is now The Lofts or something.
Okay.
But at 18, I started doing that. And at 21, started bartending at Poorhouse. Kind of kept traveling around from there, and then was lucky enough to start working with the PGA and traveling with them, as well as Carolina Country Music Festival. I helped them open. I just really have such a broad range of expertise that I, unfortunately, after my father passed, wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And I was able to combine my schooling at UNCW with marketing and my love of people and bartending and open up my own business. I wish I had a better business model that I had written down, but I'm just doing what I know and love. And thankfully, it's holding me through.
For sure. And I think sometimes in business, you know, the philosophy is ready, fire, aim instead of ready, aim, fire, because, you know, we can get really wrapped up into like the aiming and the planning and all this, and you're going to find out what works for you in your business. And what I love about how you run Freya's House is that you're like, hey, I've got these huge ideas, right? I've got these huge ideas. I love people. I want to connect people. And then you just go with it. And then you just pivot. You're like, hey, if this is not working, like, we'll just pivot and find something else. And I think that's important.
That's in the baseline, pivot.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's important in business. So Kimberly, tell me, how do you typically kind of start your day? What does that look like? Because you have a lot of moving parts to your life and your family. So,
So my partner, John, is deployed currently, thus leaving me with soon-to-be 6-month-old and our 3-year-old daughter. So usually Scarlett wakes up. I'm very passionate about nursing. So we are still nursing, kind of do that. McKenna wakes up and then it kind of turns into some chaos led by breakfast. And then I just try to, I let my daughter have some slower mornings. We do spend a lot of time at the bar, so her nights are a little bit later. Even if that is like a 9:30, 10 o'clock leave for her, she sleeps until sometimes 10:30. So we kind of take things slow in the morning. Also, bartending for so long, If I can, I won't plan a meeting till at least 11 a.m.
I don't blame you.
But then I get McKenna to school, usually head to the bar, see what I'm out of, make flyers for days. I'm not a huge coffee person, which is why my coffee program has been on a little bit of a stall. I'm wanting to learn more about it. I am very passionate about what I do and putting out good product. And the more I learn, coffee is a science. Everything from the
so
water,
complex.
The temperature,
yeah,
how you roast it, but even the grinding, weighing it out and all of that. But yeah, I just really, my daughter is very strong-willed and free-spirited, which I'm very proud of. However, it takes a lot of energy, which I don't have a lot of in the morning, but we really are just, I'm still trying to kind of figure out the mornings. I'm not sure what I'm going to do in their earlier starts.
I mean, sometimes I think that we don't have to have like, we put too much pressure on ourselves as mothers, first of all, to have this routine, right? You know, this morning routine and everything, because it's not always going to look the same. Mm-hmm. You know, someone is potentially going to be sick or who knows what, or maybe you're just really tired and you just need a minute. And that goes for our kids too.
Yeah,
so
true.
I think that it's super important that we give ourselves grace. And honestly, like, I don't know how you've been doing it because I mean, you are such a total G with what you do. And I mean, I don't know how you are able to manage it all because you opened Freya's House pretty much like pregnant, right? Like you were in
the whole building of it and everything. Yeah. Living in the hospital more so than actually building it. That was pretty rough. I actually just did an interview for WECT TV, which I kind of keep my family private, but I have a condition called hyperemesis gravidarum, and it's two genes for realizing which one is for nausea, one's for appetite, and I was lucky enough to have both.
Oh, boy, so you probably felt great pregnant.
Yeah, so that was pretty miserable. I think we were 4 weeks when we opened with Scarlett, and then John was supposed to deploy in January, thus turned to November, actually on his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. They're like, you'll have 24 to 48 hours.
And
then
man.
2 hours later, they're like, you have to be on base.
Yeah.
So
got to go for a long time.
Pivoting.
Now. Yeah. Pivot. Right. Be pliable. Well, you're doing great for sure. So what's kind of something that's a hobby of yours or something that maybe people don't know about? Kind of walk me through that.
I would not say people don't know about it, but I don't think maybe some of my newer followers or the newer people in my life know about, but modeling was a very big passion of mine for a while. But I had in the Bible Belt a little bit of a harder time because my love is fine art and the nude side and a little bit of implied nude, and some might even go so far as to say erotic, but I did a lot of micro bikini lines and things like that where I got to really enjoy like my body and how much time and effort I spent on it and just the symmetry and the line. So sometimes people are kind of thrown off by my like passion of sexuality and like the body, but it is still something I'm truly passionate about. Yeah. But a fun one is that I used to be a beekeeper.
A beekeeper?
Yeah.
Like making honey, like apiary, is that the right
term?
I don't know.
So Silver Spoon Apiaries is what I used to work for. It was the commercial side of it, which isn't as enjoyable as personal beekeeping. Personally, you get to love on them. You only have a few hives, but when it's commercial, you're disrupting a lot of hives and making sure they're not getting sick and treating them for things. So a lot more stings, which my body doesn't react as great to. So I kind of had to step away from the commercial
side. Did you wear the whole suit and everything?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's called an Elizabethan hood.
Thank you for letting me know. I had no idea. Learn something new every day. That is awesome. So was it, was it relaxing?
I have a passion for just about everything, like save the whales. I would not call it relaxing. It was very, very hot, and you're wearing full suits, basically.
It's called an Elizabethan, in case you didn't know.
I would wear, like, military pants. You had to, like, socks pulled up. I made the mistake. They're attracted to black, so I had black socks on. Oh, no. So then they lit up my ankles. The last time I actually did it when I had a tap out was it was exorbitantly hot and I couldn't breathe. It's about to rain and you're lifting these very heavy things, and not to be dramatic, but I was like, I think I'm gonna pass out, which is so not my style. But Barry is the gentleman's name. He looks like Santa Claus. He's like, you can do it. So I was like, we're done for the day.
That is wild. Okay, well, I'm probably never going to put that on my list, honestly. I'll just go and buy my honey at the farmer's market. So speaking of farmer's markets, so, you know, you're right there beside Poplar Grove Plantation, and you guys have some incredible farmer's markets, and you collaborate, I feel like, very well with their events. So
Anything we can do to support them is very important to me. I love history, and the building in itself was not even a building. It didn't have, like, insides, so I was really there for the trees and the preservation of history. A lot of people have wanted to use that site to just kind of make it a gas station, all these other options. And we are losing a few of the trees with the expansion and some fiber they're putting in for the hospital, which sucks. And as we all know, the Mungo Homes, but the nature trail, the entrance is now by our street, and they are going to be moving the animal sanctuary from Poplar Grove closer to our side, and they need some money currently to help raise money for their fences.
Okay.
So we are in the process of hopefully doing a fundraiser for them. I don't host outside events, so when they have outside events and we push that to them, we try to, like, share parking lots, whatnot, when we can, when we don't have events as well. But Caroline Lewis is who runs it, and her love for the history and just kind of showcasing what that plantation really was is something that we kind of want to carry over to Freya's house, because we still are on that water estuary and there is all that historic background. Even the camellias on site we have, which are blooming so beautifully.
They're so beautiful this time of year.
We have, like, four different kinds. But really, like, trying to take care of that and just give back to them when we can has been really enjoyable.
For sure. And, you know, something that I like about Poplar Grove Plantation is that they honor history that is, you know, sensitive.
Maybe.
Well, yeah. And I mean, they honestly, like, they take, and I'm actually looking up. Yeah. So it's the Gullah Geechee Cultural Heritage Commission, and they honor, you know, people that are, that worked on the plantation, you know, enslaved people, and they talk about their stories and really highlight what exactly that looked like. And I think that that's something that's important because we don't see that a lot in the South.
Not at all. They all want to erase it. And Caroline has spent a lot of time with that. They were one of the biggest peanut producers during the Civil War, and they put so much love into it. And even when they were freed, if you will, they still stayed on site. And she has recreated some of the buildings and brought them back to their original form so people could see, like, really the tragedy of what it was to live in those kinds of conditions. There's obviously not air conditioning, so I couldn't imagine.
Oh my goodness.
They've really done a great job with remodeling things and just
like honoring that story.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love that.
Jinx.
So I love that about you. I feel like we just instantly connected when we met. Okay, so back to, you know, kind of keeping you motivated with your business. Like, what does drive you? What keeps you coming back for more and pushing through these hard things every day and, you know, getting there, showing up?
I wouldn't be cliche and say, like, it's the girls, because that's very important. Unfortunately, with the loss of my father, to be frank, like, taking on this project was not a smart move financially for me. If I would have just let things go and just relaxed with my children, everybody would have been fine.
It would be easier, right?
Yeah, truly. I didn't need that. But what kind of keeps me going is more so truly the community. I've spent a lot of time being, I think, misperceived, and a lot of that just whether it be an outward appearance or what have you, been bullied a lot. So I really wanted to create a community where people, whether you're playing Dungeons and Dragons or you are doing a fashion show or an art show, whether you drink or don't drink, I really wanted to have an environment where everybody could come and hang out. So, and being able to have a spot for charity where they're not out money to do that. So creating a safe place for people and also giving them somewhere that they can hang out and feel like they have a home, hence the house part of Freya's house.
That's amazing. And I mean, you do make people feel so welcome and you make them feel special, and you just have a way about doing that. So I love that about you. You're welcome. Okay. So give me a couple of other things here. So what's your favorite restaurant in town? I ask everybody that question.
I'm such a big foodie that I would have to give you like three because it's more like a genre for me. Like I love a good steak. I love great sushi and Italian. Nicola's is a big favorite of mine. Also Tarantelli's to follow. I helped open Tarantelli's and their head chef left and came back and now he's a partial owner. I don't have a favorite steak place here currently, but you can't go wrong with Caprice's steak. Sushi is another one of my favorites and Bento Box is phenomenal. Chef Lee is super talented and I love that his fresh. His fish is always so fresh. So. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So it's funny that you brought that up because you and I have kind of made plans tonight because you're having a sushi food truck at Freya's house this evening. So Kimberly, talk to me really quickly about food trucks because you utilize food trucks for you know, the bulk of the food that's served at your establishment. So what does that process look like? How do you find them?
Food trucks.
Yeah.
Between food trucks and music, booking is exorbitantly hard. People don't realize how much time and correspondence goes into that, as well as just adapting because a lot of them, sometimes they don't show or they've double booked. Their generator doesn't work. The truck they're using doesn't work. So there are a few groups on Facebook, but I am aggressive. Like I'm like when there's a new food truck, I'm like, this is my schedule. I'm booking out for the whole year.
Yeah.
We're actually looking into getting our own food truck just for those instances. Primarily I want to do breakfast. I feel like there's nothing on that side of town. All the homes, if you buy 5 burritos for your staff, you get 3 free or something of the sort. But tonight we have Seoul Sushi, and he is a Korean barbecue and sushi truck, and he is so hard to get, so I am super excited. Keeping a variety of food trucks, I think, is important. We also do a lot of promotion for them, so whether it be making my own posts or putting them in different groups, just getting them some exposure. I know people hate that, but sometimes exposure is truly helpful.
Yeah.
We also offer a 50-volt plug. So a lot of them use generators, but some of them do have trailer plug capabilities, and that is super exciting for them sometimes. It saves them money. I'm out a little bit of money, but some people charge the food trucks, but my whole business model is based on a symbiotic relationship. Yeah. As long as I'm making money, you're making money, then let's just be.
For sure.
Just call it a day.
For sure. I love it. Kimberly, what advice would you give someone considering a career in food and beverage?
I would let them know that if they have thick skin, that it needs to be thicker.
Okay.
The amount of unsolicited advice you will get will start to wear on you. And if you are not truly passionate or you know exactly what it is you want to do, that will kind of get to you. So really just sticking to what it is that you think is important, what your morals are business-wise, and what you want to accomplish. One of my mentors told me that one of the hardest things that I would personally have to deal with, don't love rejection, and I'm a people pleaser. But not everyone is made to be your customer. And just accepting that and sticking true to what it is. Like some people do not like that I have children at the social house, and that is totally fine. But however, that is a huge baseline of the business, and I can't make everyone happy. And realizing that it was very hard, but it was a truth. And I think anyone getting into the service industry, like the customer is not always right, and we are not always right. So. Yeah. Just kind of thickening that skin.
So I'm hearing vision is very important. Have a very laser clear vision on what you're looking to do. Be authentic to yourself.
For sure.
And just be flexible to you.
Yeah.
Right? Just being flexible. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Let's Get Local Wilmington. I hope you enjoyed the incredible insights and stories shared by our amazing guests. A big thank you to today's guest for spending their time with me. If you found this episode as inspiring as I did, don't forget to show some love. Leave a rating or a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback means the absolute world to me and helps me continue bringing you top-notch content. And hey, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.